Father, I thank you again for the entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So today's lesson in our Emerge series is that the Lord shall guide you and teach you, give you strategy. That's right. Strategy. How to move. And what to do and what not to do. Strategy is both ways. It tell you what to do, tell you what not to do, tell you where to go and tell you where not to go. And it will tell you when to move and when not to move. It will tell you when to speak and when to be quiet. It will tell you when to plant, when to pluck up, when to build, when to throw down. I mean, all these things the Lord will tell you. And that's why we began to speak for several days now. We've been speaking about these things. First of all, we said, as we began, you know, many days ago, started talking about these things. Many of the things that we talked about precipitated upon, you know, our saying yes. That's right. A week ago, it was about saying yes. Saying yes to the Lord and then moving in His will. And then we've talked about so many things, nuggets here and there, you know, up to even understanding the times that God has called, a time of refreshing for you. Hallelujah. When you have that understanding, yeah, you know, then the Lord gives you the victory, really, because of the understanding that you have. Gives you an advantage. Praise the Lord. So I, you know, invite everyone go back and listen to some of the lessons, especially over the last 7 days, about from our Emerge series. Today, I want to come from a different angle. You've heard me allude to this from time to time, in that we need strategy. You know, and so I want to talk a little bit about that today. And what does that really mean? Well, here are some declarations and promises from God that we want to claim and to hold on to as we go, you know, up through the rest of the year. Here's what the Lord said in Psalms 32. And verse 8, He said that He's going to guide you with His eye. He's going to instruct you in the way that you should go. Now, that's strategy. Now, we're going to talk more about that. But listen to how He said it. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. And I will guide you with my eye. Now, that's His providence. His providence, He's going to give you instruction. He's going to give you strategy and providence. Remember, providence is God's continuous act to guide, to protect, you know, and to make sure that His plans for your life come to pass, no matter what. You know, so God will guide you. Will instruct you, and His eye will be upon you, and His good hand will be upon you as well. So remember that. That's what He said. And part of that is also what we have alluded to and quoted many times in this platform. You know, one of my favorite verses on how you get success. And how things work for you to bring you to an expected end. The Lord said He'll bring you to an expected end, but how? Well, it's in Job 32 and verse 8. And He said, look, the things, you know, wisdom doesn't necessarily come by length of days, you know, how long you've been here upon the earth, you know, We do gain some wisdom by that, you know, some gray hairs and so forth bring us wisdom through the years, you know, but there is a spirit inside man. That's right. When that spirit connects with the spirit of God, an inspiration of the Almighty comes in there and it gives you an understanding. Now, understanding, knowledge and counsel is what gives you an advantage. And you must have it. And you will have it. But the Lord is promising it. You know, but that's what gives you an advantage. The sons of Issachar that we read yesterday or the other day, what gave them an advantage over their brethren, said all their brethren were at their commandment, was because they had understanding. And that gave them an advantage. Now, you know, understanding is very key. Knowledge is very key. As a matter of fact, the Lord said something very drastic, you know, in the book of Hosea. He said, my people are destroyed. Well, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. For lack of knowledge. You know, destroyed. Well, it is the enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know, but he takes advantage of our lack of knowledge. You know, knowledge is very key. Knowledge is what gives you advantage. If you know how to apply that knowledge, then it's called wisdom and counsel. But the Lord will teach you. Now, teaching and knowledge are paired together. Now, when we go to school, you know, we have teachers that teach us. But what we are supposed to be acquiring is knowledge. And if we reject that knowledge or you choose to not go to school, well, you know, most people that choose to not go to school, they fall by the wayside in the society that we're in today. You know, that knowledge is what can set you apart. And if you have elevated knowledge, because the general knowledge these days is not enough. I mean, just think about it. I mean, the days that we are in now, if you go to school and you have a, you know, high school diploma, what good is it? It used to be in the past when people got their GED, you know, it was good enough. Maybe decades ago. Well, high school diploma, even a first college degree is not good enough these days because there are millions of people that have it. You know, it's like a pyramid. You know, at the base of the pyramid, there's millions of people. The higher you go, you know, the smaller the circumference around that pyramid. So when you are there, the populace at the bottom, even these days, just having a master's degree is not even enough. You got to set yourself apart. You know, you got to get knowledge. You got to get understanding that sets you apart. You know, and the people that really have it, they're sought out. By the time you get up there at the apex, you know, you separated yourself from so many. And did you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, let me just talk some natural things for a minute. Did you know that even in business, in the business world, you know, I've been working in this business world for years and I've seen CEOs and top executives come and go. But at that level, they don't apply for a job. They are sought out. You know, in fact, most of the time, you know, they're still on one job and somebody is reaching out to them that we want you over here. You know, for the things that we know you can do for us. You know, at that level, they separated themselves. And you have that kind of knowledge sought out. But, you know, you're not going to get to that kind of knowledge in one day or even in the 3 weeks that I've left in this year. I'm going to teach you, show you something that the Lord wants us to imbibe into our lives. you know. That's figuring out how you walk in tandem with the inspiration of the Almighty. It's very key. And the Lord said in the book of Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17, you know, here's the way he puts it. You know, some of the things that we are believing God for, a lot of them have to do with the Lord. I mean, how they will come to pass will actually have to do with the Lord teaching you and giving you strategy. You know, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, thy God, that teaches you how to profit. That's right. He's got to teach you. You know, and if he doesn't teach you, you know, well, you may struggle. But when he teaches you and inspires your mind, my goodness, he can catapult you in that learning phase quicker. He said, I am the one that will teach you how to profit and I will lead you in the way that you should go. Now, that's strategy. Throughout this Bible, there's places where we are shown how God's instruction led the people and gave them strategy. You know, so I'm going to tell you some of those stories and to lay a background for this. Now, some of the famous verses that people quote, you know, when we're trying to talk about, you know, God giving us a breakthrough or God giving us this and that and so on. But, you know, sometimes people actually, you know, quote it in error, some of these things. Or it's not entirely accurate, you know, how we think of it. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. What is he that giveth thee power to get wealth? That he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Now this verse, you know, a lot of people quote it, but it's not accurate in the minds of the people that quote it. We don't quote it accurately. What the Lord is going to give you is the power to get the wealth. You didn't exactly say the wealth itself. You know, the power, how you are going to get it. That's called strategy. How you're going to do it. You know, not exactly just open the windows of heaven and pour it down in your laps. He can do that if he wants, but most of the time he doesn't. But he'll teach you how to do it. You know, I mean, look at what happened in the story of Noah. You know the story. The Lord had told him the flood was coming to destroy the earth. You know, so if you are Noah, God already told you the flood is coming, take away the world. You know, but he told you that there is something that can save you is an ark. But you are going to have to build the ark. God didn't build the ark. He showed him though where to find the wood. And he showed him the dimensions, how to construct the ark. I mean, he gave him incredible knowledge. I mean, the architecture of that thing, you know, it was incredible. Because it came from the mind of God. But God didn't build the ark. Praise God. You know, so, you know, it's been said that, you know, God doesn't make furniture. He makes wood. He makes trees. That's what he makes. Now, he's going to give the sons of men the wisdom, the knowledge to make furniture out of it. And that's, you know, strategy. Now, sometimes the children of this generation are wiser. The children of the world wiser in their generation than the sons of the kingdom sometimes. But they learn strategy. They learn how to do things. You know, so God will tell you the, you know, storm is coming and told you the ark is what's going to save you. But he may not build the ark for you. But he'll show you where to find the wood. And he'll give you instructions on how to build the ark. That's right. An ark that can withstand. Nobody had that technology at the time. Nobody. Because they'd never been any such thing. They'd never even seen any rain. You know. But got to give you strategy and tell you how to do it, no matter how long it takes. I mean, it took Noah actually 120 years because, you know, the technology was limited, you know, to build such a gigantic thing. You know, it was limited, but, you know, God had patience because in those days, they lived very long anyway. You know, so 120 years, yeah, that could have been a third or fourth of somebody's lifetime. That's no big deal. You know, today people live like 80 years or more or less, you know, so, you know, nobody can afford 120 years today to figure something out. You got to figure it out within 5 years at the most because, you know, the lifespan is not like that anymore, you know, and, you know, or maybe 20 years. Well, some of us, it takes about 20 years from the time you start going to grade school, middle school, high school, college, you know, postgraduate and all that. It might take you 20 years. Now, well, that's your own 120 years because you don't have 120 years. We'll figure it out. But figure it out, you must, you know. And sometimes we go back and forth during those, our quote-unquote 120 years, which for you it may be 15 years, it may be five. Some people, it may be three. And, you know, it's taking you to figure it out. Whatever it is, you know. But how can you figure it out quicker? That's where strategy comes in. You know, from the beginning, God has always been giving the people strategy. Strategy. Give them instructions. You know, sometimes even instructions of how to transfer the wealth, you know, and before he does that, he might create scenarios that will make it easier for the wealth transfer. The story that we see in the children of Israel in Egypt, you know, the scenarios that God created was for the evil, great evil, to come upon the land and hardening the heart of Pharaoh till even his own officers and everybody around him would say, I mean, just let the people go already. I mean, are you going to wait until they kill all of us? God was setting them up, you know. You might say, some people say softening them up, but no, God was actually hardening up their heart, hardening up for his heart, you know, setting them up and doing all these things. And the intensity of these things were rising and rising and rising until the people were up to here. Get rid of these people, whatever it takes. Well, and then God came and said, all right, I've got them right where I want them. Go tell them. And here's what you need from them. Get their silver, get their gold. They'll be glad to give it to you just to get rid of you. Yeah, well, that was strategy. Well, that was God's strategy. He didn't actually tell them what he was doing, you know, but he was laying a strategy. And by the time they got right to it, and here's how, you know, he put it in, you know, Psalm 105 verse 37, he said, he brought them forth also out with silver and gold. And of course, in Genesis 15, the Lord told Abraham these things way ahead of time. You go out there, they will be tormented by some nation, and I will bring them out with a high hand. And then I will punish that nation. You know, so the Lord, yeah, strategy. Even when Moses was going in and said, well, I can't do that. The Lord said, well, I will instruct you. I'll give you strategy. And he still wouldn't go. So the Lord began to show him what to do. Okay, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. Well, throw it down. You know, God began to teach him what he can do with that rod. And he threw it down and it became a snake and he ran from it. And the Lord said, don't worry about it. Pick it up. And he picked it up. It became a rod again. God said, hey, see, I've shown you, you can do some signs with this rod. And that's teaching. That's some strategy. And we said, well, if that's not enough, if they don't obey the voice of that sign, well, do something else. Put your hand inside your chest And he did. Bring it out again. God was just teaching him strategy. Just showing him. Leading him step by step. Okay. Bring it out again. And he brought it out. And his hands were leprous. And, you know, he was scared. Don't worry about it. Put it right back inside your bosom. And he should come again and say, God was showing him that he had power. And you know, putting the power into his hands. And so forth. God was teaching him. I mean, God taught Abraham. He didn't necessarily give him, God was showing the case of Abraham. He didn't necessarily give him everything step by step. But, you know, teaching us in many of these stories, the different flavors. In the story of Abraham, God was teaching us that, look, we got to trust him. But he said to him, first, he said, look, you know, when the people were trying to be great, in Genesis 11, try to build a tower to heaven, God said, no, you will not do it. I'm going to scatter you. But then he turned around the next chapter of Genesis 12 and said, I'm going to make you great. He handpicked Abraham. Abraham wasn't even striving to be great. But God handpicked it. And God began to give him strategy. The first set of instructions is, the place where you are right now, it's not going to work. You got to leave that place. Now, that's strategy. That's rule number one. You got to be in the right place for the Lord's blessings to come. And sometimes you are in the wrong place. And Abraham was in the wrong place. And God said to him, get out of that place. I'm going to take you someplace else. God didn't tell him exactly, but he learned to follow the instruction, the strategy, and so forth. And then, as he was going along the way, of course, difficulties would arise. You know, you will, you know, sometimes, let me give you this punchline right now. In this journey for you to emerge, and as you emerge, listen to this. God is able, because he's sovereign, he's able to use even your mistakes. That's right. And walk through them and bring out his glory still. I'm going to say that again. God is able to walk through, use even your mistakes on this journey and bring out his glory still. And he will do it. Now, it was a mistake for Abraham to take Lot with him. God never called Lot to go with him. You know, God called Abraham alone. But he said, a Lot has to come along because he's my nephew and his father is dead. His father was my brother. I got to take care of him. Okay. God said, cool. No worries. But God did not call Lot. Called Abraham. Well, that error at the time, which seemed like a kind deed, but it was an error in judgment because God didn't give him that instruction. But nevertheless, you know, God would use it. How did God use it? Well, you know, after a while, there was conflict and strife between the, you know, group that Lot had and the group that Abraham had, their servants, their people, and everything. They were fighting over various things, the land, the wells, this and that. So finally, Abraham said, look, I know that, you know, we're your family and so forth, but this is not working out. You know, you got to go your separate, we got to go our separate way. Well, God never told you to bring him along in the first place. You know, so, you know, well, okay, we got to go our separate ways. But Abraham was humble enough to say, look, you know, the land is for us. You choose first, you know, in honor, preferring one another, right? You choose first what you, wherever you want, you pick it. And then, you know, whatever is left, I'll take. My goodness, you know, who does that? You know, I mean, and Lot, he eyed all the land that was green and everything. And he said, I'm going to take that one. Abraham said, that's cool. You know, he took that and he left the parched land and the ones that were not producing and the ones that were not good. They had no history of doing well. He picked the ones that had a history of doing well. Left the ones that had no history of doing well with Abraham. Abraham said, that's okay. You know, that's fine. And God would now use that. God will use that. And he came to Abraham after. That's right. You know, look, you're going to come full circle if you're not doing the right thing, if you don't follow the instruction, and you tag things along which God didn't want you to tag along. Well, he can still use it, but you're going to come full circle. So Abraham came full circle. And, you know, and the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 13 and verse 14, after that Lot was separated from him. Look, God didn't call you with Lot in the first place. So he's going to bring you full circle back to where he wants you to be. Because I called Abraham alone. And then now, you know, that the distraction is gone. And that was, Lot was a distraction. Even though he was a kind heart in his, you know, kindness in his heart to his nephew and so on. It was a distraction. The purpose of God for his life. A big distraction. You know, and God had to get rid of it. God couldn't really move Abraham forward until Lot was separated from him. Now, after that Lot was separated from him, God will now give him further instructions. And further strategy will now come. Now, the teaching that God will give Abraham now is something that we all must learn. And this is what God said to him. Lift up now thine eyes. And the distraction is gone and all of this. Now you can see clearer now. Lift up now thine eyes. And look from the place where you are. Now, the place where you are is not where God wants you to be necessarily as the final end. But it's your starting point. And wherever that starting point is, that's okay. However you got there, maybe you stumbled around foolishness or whatever, like Abraham did and so on. Many people didn't realize that it was a mistake, you know, in the story of Abraham, because the scriptures didn't quite call it out that way. I'm telling you today, because that's why God had to wait until got rid of Lot finally, you know, and then he's right back where God wanted him in the first place, to deal with him, give him direct instruction alone. You know, so now God said, look, here's what I want you to do. Come out here and look, you know, forget what Lot took. But even if you look at what Lot took, I'll give it to you too if you want it. But just come out here and see the land. Whatever you see, glory to God. Just look all around you, 360, east, west, north, south. Look all around. Everything that you can see. Now, that's part of strategy. Ladies and gentlemen, let me put it to you this way. You know, to get greater, you must see greater. You must think greater. You must dream greater. But it's beyond dreaming. Well, dream is good. I'm not talking about the dream where you actually see a dream. Dream is where you visualize, is the one I'm talking about. Visualize the thing. It's a good dream. Visualize it. Because the Bible says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let me read it to you this way. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, unto him that is able. See, he's able to do it. Now, will he do it? Well, let's find out. We'll find it out in this very verse. Now, don't jump. Jump out of the verse. We're going to read it all. We're going to unpack all of it. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, if you want your coast to be enlarged, you got to think more, because God is able to surpass whatever you ask or think. So if you only ask for 10, well, maybe he'll give you 15. And that's cool. He's already surpassed it. And if you ask for 100, maybe he'll give you 300. So he surpassed it. But if you can think bigger, and people don't have the capacity, their capacity is limited by the power that walketh in them. Now, this power comes from inspiration of the Almighty. It comes from understanding the times, all these things we've been talking about. It comes from knowledge. It comes from knowing what God said. Glory to God. It comes from knowing what he already said. You know, the power to say this is what yesterday we were talking about, you contending for the word of promise. It comes from all of these things, but it's according. Look, the capacity that you have, even though God can exceed it, you know, he can't exceed it very much. Your capacity is for 100. Well, maybe he'll give you 127. You know, he has exceeded it. You know, somebody who has a capacity for 3,000, you know, whatever the unit of measure is here. I'm just saying, just talking as a man. If they have a capacity for 3,000, God cannot give them the 127 that he gave to the one that had capacity for 100. That wouldn't work. So, you know, so the power that walketh in you, and that's the one I want to talk about today. It called the strategy, instructions of God, his inspiration. This is the power that walks in you. It's the, you can't, God can't go too much beyond that, you know, but he will. But you got to expand that power. You got to get things off your line of vision that are disturbing you. Now, when God said, you know, come out here and look, that's like, I call it faith horizons. Your faith horizon is as far as you can see. Horizon is that imaginary line somewhere that the sky seems to meet the earth. You know, now, there is a mathematical formula for even computing a horizon. And it's, you know, it's based on height. The higher you go, the farther out you can actually see. That's a known fact. If you're on sea level, you can only see so much. In fact, at sea level, there'll be all kinds of things blocking your view. Anyway, the house in front of you is blocking your view, you know, and let alone a skyscraper that's in front of you. For you to be able to see beyond and above all those things, you got to climb up higher. Now, let's assume you are even in a vast land, desert. There is nothing anywhere to block your vision. And you're standing on the ground. Well, maybe you can see, you know, maybe you can see, I don't know, 300 yards or 500 yards or whatever ahead of you. But as you climb up, by the time you go up to 100 feet up, or a, you know, even beyond that, let's say you go up to a 7-story building or this and that and so on, your horizon goes out by miles that you can see. Now, going up represents gaining more knowledge, gaining more understanding. That's how you improve your faith horizon. Increase it. And the Lord said it here also. He said, look, in the book of Isaiah 54, he gives us this, you know, it's like commandments, exhortation, instruction, you know, admonition, encouragement, whatever. It's all wrapped up in it, however you want to look at it. He said, look, I want you to enlarge your thinking. That's right. Enlarge your thinking. You know, think more to get more. See more, you know, think greater. You know, those people who are, even in our times, those people who are called visionaries, you know, they've got to think greater than the average person. That's how they're able to do these things. Here's how he put it out in Isaiah 54, you know. Let me read the first 3 or 4 verses. Sing, O barren. Thou that is not bare, break forth into singing and cry aloud. And thou didst not travail with thy, for more are the children of the even the desolate, they can see, they see that those children, well, then they get it. You know, enlarge the place of your tent. You know, why think small? Enlarge. You know, let them stretch forth. I mean, this is expansion, this is advancement. Expand, enlarge, stretch forth the place of your curtains of your habitations. Well, these are spiritual things, ladies and gentlemen. Even though he's using natural words, remember, Jesus always used natural words. Anytime. He did not, even though he was speaking great things, you know, he told Nicodemus, you know, he said, look, if I have told you earthly things and you find it hard to comprehend, what are you going to do then if I tell you spiritual things? You know, so most of the time, Jesus will just tell them natural things. He will use words like fish, corn, stone, bread, house, rain, this and this. He just used natural words, you know. A sower went to sow a seed, this and this and this and this. Just use natural words, you know. But there's a spiritual message that he's carrying or, you know, or conveying in those things. That these are spiritual things, even though natural words are spiritual things. When Isaiah said, look, you know, there will be a child that is born and a son that will be given. Those are natural words. You know, people bear children all the time. It's no big mystery, you know, but there was a mystery about this child that will be born. It's natural words, but carrying a spiritual message and an impact that will make him, you know, have dominion and have government and so forth. You know, and he was saying so many things, but he was just using natural words. So enlarge the place of your tent. Yes, natural words, but strike for the curtains of your habitations. Well, you know, natural words. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Natural words. There is strategy even in the material world to do this. However, this is spiritual. You know, things happen in the spirit realm first. Before they happen, you know, God said, look, who's going to go down there and persuade Ahab to go and fall at Ramoth Gilead? You know, something's going to happen in the spiritual realm first. And everybody came, you know, one person said this and that, and it didn't, you know, didn't quite jive. And so a spirit came out. Well, we don't know that it was a good spirit, but it was a spirit that came out and said, well, I will be a lion spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. I said, okay, fine. You go do it. You know, the thing was already set in the heavens. And there was one day that the Lord opened my eyes to see that inside that story. I said, oh, so this is how it works. A long time ago. But, you know, from that time, I understood many things. Now, that was a negative story. But it works in the same way in the spiritual. You know? And so that's why some of you have heard me say, the Lord say, look, who's going to go down there and make sure that my daughter gets what she's believing for? Now, this time, it'll be the good spirits that will stand for. The good angels will stand for. The devil will come and say, it's not going to happen because she's not declaring your word. And the Lord will say to the good spirit, you go down there and make sure she begins to declare my word. Maybe they'll create some uncomfortable circumstances. You know, the angel of the Lord has been known to do some uncomfortable things in order to bring you to the place where God really wants to bless you. Block your way sometimes in order for you to go back and figure out the Lord. Angel of the Lord, it can do all kinds of things, you know. So, you know, go down there and make sure she gets to the point, because the devil is saying, well, she's not declaring your word. You have no permission to do anything for her. And I say, okay, we'll see about that. Who's going to go down? Then jump up. Say, okay, no, I just need a couple of you. You go down there and you make sure, you know, she gets what she's believing for. And here's how you do it. You make sure she starts to declare my word. Look, and when God wants to do anything, he's got angels at his disposal. You send them down there. You know, when God wanted to elevate Mordecai, he sent an angel to trouble the king in the night. He couldn't sleep. You have to read between the lines when you read these things. The angel of the Lord troubled him, took away his sleep, and he couldn't sleep. You know, this is how God, you know, when the time of promise draws near, that's how he orchestrates things. Can make even the good angels to do some uncomfortable things to bring you to the place where he wants you to be. But eventually, you start declaring his word. Once you start declaring his word, devil has nothing else to say. Now, those angels will now spring forth into action. Psalm 103, verse 20. They were waiting for you to give voice to his word anyway. The moment you start giving voice, they go into action. And even along the way, the Lord himself will visit you once he sees that you are in alignment with his word. He will now visit you and begin to give you instruction and strategy. Hallelujah. You know, when he visits you, do it. when he visited Joshua in the book of Joshua chapter 6. He gave his, now Joshua was a man, look, don't mess around with this man. You come up before him with a sword, he's going to challenge you. You know, the angel, he saw one time a man that was drawn with a drawn sword. He said, look, who are you? Why you have a sword in your hand? Are you for us or against us? He didn't know he was the angel of the Lord, but he was ready to engage. You know, you come up with him. I mean, he was a man of war. He didn't mess around at all. But of course, the angel of the Lord told him in Joshua 5 and verses 13 to 14, you know, look, I'm not here. I have my own agenda. You know, just, you know, the angel of the Lord, they always have their agenda. They have their instructions. So anyway, when he got to go and deal with Jericho, the Lord gave him instructions. The Lord always gives instructions. The Lord will give them instructions how to carry the ark, what they need to do when they get to Jordan, you know, and all these things. There was always instruction. There was always things. Even in the, you know, in the battle against Jericho, there's instruction on how they are going to blow the trumpet and how they are going to go around the city and all of these things. And Joshua had instruction of, you know, what to do, you know, and so forth. And it came to, you know, whether it's Jericho, whether it's Ai, whether it's all these places where they went, you know, there was always instruction on how to do it. Praise the Lord. And God always gave them instruction. Now, in the olden days too, these people knew how to go and inquire from the Lord. You know, I mean, David, he knew how to inquire from the Lord. He would always say, well, shall I go up? You know, and then the Lord would say, well, you know, go up. You know, maybe you'll go up. Maybe you won't go up, but you got to ask. You know, the story is in 2 Samuel chapter 5. There were twice that David asked the Lord for strategy, for instruction. Should I go or should I not go? What should I do? You know, now, the sons of Issachar that understood the times, they also understood what Israel ought to do. We read that yesterday. What you ought to do is instruction, is strategy. You know, so David said, well, shall I go up or shall I not go up? You can read that in 2 Samuel chapter 5, you know, around verse 19. And the Lord said, but you know, when you ask questions like this, let me bring something up here. When you ask questions like this, ask clearly what you want the Lord to do for you, you know, and he'll give you his correct instruction. You know, he said, look, shall I go up to the Philistines? Now, he didn't stop there. Will you deliver them into my hand? Now, if you just say, shall I go up? And the Lord might say, go up, because you didn't ask whether he would, you know, deliver them. You go up and he will be smitten before your face. You come back and say, well, but you said you should go. Well, you ask, shall I go up? But if you ask, shall I go up? Will you deliver them into my hand? Aha. Now the Lord will say, well, go up, for I will doubtless deliver them into your hand. Now you can see how that's working. Now, so David, he went to Perazim and smote them and made a breach upon them, called the place, name of the place, Perazim, and burned their images and all that. You know, so, well, these Philistines, they're like whack-a-mole, you know, that they talk in the U.S. You whack them down, they come up again. They don't try to stay down. Well, people should learn from that. Children of God, the enemy cheap shot you, don't stay down. Well, these Philistines, they won't stay down. They will go back and they'll regroup, you know. And some of them are sneaky and tricky even today. We see some of those spirits walking today, you know. Enemies will say, oh, let's have a peace treaty. Let's have a ceasefire. Well, why are they having a ceasefire? They are regrouping. Because they don't, you know, they don't want to lose. They don't want to stay down. But they will lose when they come up, you know, children of God. Come up against Israel, eventually you'll lose anyhow. Because God gave them that land. And they will have it at the end of the day. Now, here's what they said, you know. And so the Philistines came up against them again, you know. And David went back and inquired again. Now, David didn't say, well, Lord gave me the word to go up against them. You know, there's a new situation You got to get fresh instruction and fresh strategy for the thing, for the, you know, for the thing at hand. The present conflict, you know, different from the last one. So he went up again and said, Lord, shall I go up? You know, and the Lord said, you know, no, you are not going up this time around, but I'm going to give you strategy of how you're going to do it. You're going to fetch a compass behind them and come up against them by hand the mulberry trees. And God began to give him strategy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is strategic warfare. You know, Paul at one time said, look, he said, when I fight, I'm not, you know, punching the air, you know, just shadow boxing. Paul said, look, I don't do shadow boxing in spiritual things. I zero in. Hallelujah. I know, you know, what I am doing. You know, I don't fight as one that beats the air. That's shadow boxing. In spiritual things, shadow boxing doesn't help. You need the rules of engagement. You know, the rules of engagement is strategy. You got to learn things about your enemy. You got to know things. You got to know when to strike. You got to know their movement. You do things and do all these things and so forth. You know, and you bring your A game. You can't just waltz in there and think, you know, you don't do it as like that, you know. So Paul, he knew how to fight strategically. You know, he even said it. At the end, he said, look, I have fought a good fight. I've been strategic. I didn't just beat the air. You can read the beating of the air story about, you know, like he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. He said, look, I run not as uncertainly, you know, I'm strategic. I run my race tactfully. That's what he's saying. I run my race tactfully and I fight not like shadow boxing. I don't fight as someone that is, you know, just beating the air. No, I zero in laser focused. He knows what he's doing. Guided, you know, we have technology today that guide those missiles. We have those drones. We have, incredible precision technology today in warfare. Well, even spiritual things. You know, the Bible says knowledge shall increase. Well, spiritual knowledge should increase too, not just scientific knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is what I'm talking about today. This should also increase. You know, I keep my body under. You know, that's part of the strategy too. You know, don't just do things anyhow. Preach to others and you yourself be a castaway. Strategy. All along, God always gives his people strategy. You know, there are two stories in Luke chapter 5. And John chapter, 21. They read slightly differently. Not sure which perspective they restore them. Reported them from. Not sure if they're the same stories. But nonetheless, you know, because one was after Jesus' resurrection. The one in John was after Jesus' resurrection. The one in Luke chapter 5 was, just at some time. You know, it was not necessarily after Jesus' resurrection. You know, so that was when Jesus was still teaching. Now, in Luke chapter 5, we see that Peter and his friends, they had been out there. They taught nothing all night long. Well, when Jesus came, he gave them instruction and strategy. You know, and Peter, always quick, said, well, Lord, we caught nothing all day long. All night long, actually. We caught nothing. But nevertheless, that's all. That again, that nevertheless word. He aligned, you know, separated his soul from his spirit, separated his soul that's discouraged because all night long they haven't caught anything. He brought the word of God in there, separated. I know you are the master. When you speak, I will obey. I say yes, nevertheless, even though, you know, discouragement and so forth. Now, we must learn that. Hebrews 4:12 will tell you that you can use the word of God to divide between your soul and your spirit. When the soul is thinking discouragement, despondency, weariness, because you've tried so many things without wisdom and without strategy, your spirit will now come in there and latch onto the word of God and say, nevertheless, now I have instruction. I'm going to do it at your word. And he did. And they caught a great many fish. Now, to the extent that they couldn't even bring it in, they had to bring others in. Finally, the story in John chapter 21, a little bit different. Because this was, after Jesus had gone to the cross and everything. And, these people were feeling a bit let down at the time. Well, I mean, the master, we don't know where, he's left us alone. So, well, I go back a fishing. the Lord called him from that fishing where he said, look, I'm going back to that thing. I don't know. We don't know what's going on here. And then the people say, okay, we go with you. And so they all went a fishing. Well, they went a fishing, but lo and behold, they caught nothing. And along the way, when morning was now come, John chapter 21 and verse 4. But let me read it from verse 3. Simon Peter said, I go fishing. And the other said to him, well, we also go with thee. So they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and they caught nothing all that night long. Just like the other story. And when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples did not know it was him. And so Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They said, no, because they caught nothing. So now Jesus is going to give them strategy of how to do it. In the other place, he gave them strategy. He said, launch out into the deep. A strategy. Don't just stay here. They already came from the deep. He said, do it again. Hallelujah. That's strategy. They already washed out their nets. They came to the shore and so forth, and they packed it in. And Jesus came. He said, you're going to do it again. He said, well, we've done it, but... And then he immediately corrected himself. Okay. And then they rolled the ship again. this time around, I'm going to tell you where to cast the net. Put the net over here. Ah, that's right. That's strategy. And Jesus told them, put the net on the right side or correct side of the ship. And ye shall find. Well, now, the Lord will give you strategy of how to get the breakthrough in your business. You may be an entrepreneur. You may be whatever it is. He'll give you the strategy. That strategy is important. And so they did it. They cast forth. And now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fish. praise the Lord. And then at the end of it all, the Lord said, come and dine. Come and dine. This is the thing that God wants to say to you, come and dine. Hallelujah. Come and dine. But many people, sometimes they lose their appetite because things are not going well and so forth. But Jesus, at the end of it all, because he'll bring that thing full circle and he'll bring an influx of fish for them. He'll bring tremendous victory. I mean, they were fishermen, but they caught nothing. But Jesus is going to change the story because of instruction and strategy. And they're going to catch a great catch. Praise the Lord. Well, let me conclude this lesson by saying, I've not told you exactly what the strategy is, but I'm just telling you that you need the strategy. And he actually promised it, because of the scriptures that I read to you at the beginning, and that how he will guide you with his eyes, and how that he will instruct you, with his wisdom. Hallelujah. That's how he does it. But what must we do? Well, first we say yes to the Lord. And remember, it's not by power or by might, but you need his instruction. That's what's going to give you an edge. That's going to give you an advantage. If you don't have it, you are going to miss out, And today, some of you might remember my lessons on the wisdom series. In the knowledge portion, I talked about the corridors of influence. Knowledge is the king. Knowledge and counsel, these things sit on top. It was counsel. That promoted Joseph. It wasn't exactly his gift of interpretation. of dreams. It was his ability to bring great counsel. You know, he could have interpreted the dream and not given any counsel, and he might not have been promoted. Maybe they'll just give him some gifts. You know, well, thank you for, you know, the interpretation. But when you give incredible counsel like that, you know, and they say, wow, you can save all posterity. He was promoted because of the ability. But God instructed his mind. Huh, that's right. So whatever you do, like the scripture says, in all that getting, get understanding. Well, whatever you do, get this counsel and get this strategy from the Lord. You know, that's right. You know, so there is a scripture that I'm going to give you here. You know, that again, that talks about you using a strategy for everything that you do. Use strategy. Don't just do things anyhow. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6 says, by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. Now, counsel. What is counsel? How do the people do war? Well, you gather intelligence. You gather, you know, the instructors, counselors. You know, back then in those days, you know, they were called one thing or the other. Advisors, counselors, and different things. Ahithophel, many of them like that, advised the king, and sometimes even a prophet. You know, a prophet was giving the, you know, king of Israel strategy against, you know, the king of Syria. And everything the king of Syria would plan, the prophet would give the king of Israel strategy. Say, well, he's planning this, you go this way and avoid it. And so finally, their enemy one day, the king said, look, who among us is the one that is telling all our secrets? Because they seem to be one step ahead of us every time. No matter what we want to do, they're ahead of us. Like somebody here, there's a mole. You know, and, you know, one young lady came and said, there is no mole. But there is a prophet in Israel that's giving the king of Israel strategy. strategy, huh? All right, well, let's go bump him off. You know, so, but the strategy of how to avoid the pitfalls, you know, how to hide yourself, you know, strategy. The prudent man foreseeth the evil, hided himself. You know, God will give you wisdom and counsel, you know, to do these things. You know, with quiet counsel, make your war. You know, now that means use strategy, you know, to plan. It's time that you, it's not everything you fight for. Sometimes you just let it go. That's strategy. God will tell you when to fight. God will tell you when not to fight. God will tell you when to go up. God will tell you when to encamp around them, you know, compass them by this way and that way. So that's strategy. Now, let me round this up by saying that once we understand the need for this, then you need to seek it. James says, look, if any man lack wisdom, well, I say if any man lack strategy, well, let him pray. You know, but, you know, when you pray, don't pray with the mind of, well, if he gives me, fine, if he doesn't, fine. Well, if you do wishy-washy like that, you get nothing. It's just like healing. You're praying for healing and say, if the Lord heals me, fine. If doesn't, fine. Well, then you're getting no healing that way. You need to sink your teeth into it like a bulldog and, or pit dog, or pit bull. That's what they call them. And don't let go. My goodness, I was watching some nature series. I see how those predators, those animals like the tiger, the, you know, the puma and so forth, they sink their teeth into the neck of the bull, you know, and that thing will be kicking and everything like that. They just sink their teeth into that thing, you know, and they have the natural instinct. They know where to bite, to, you know, to close the paws, and they'll sink their teeth in there until, you know, they get the life out of that thing. They just sink their teeth in there and they won't let go. Do whatever you want. They're not going to let go. Kick, fight and everything. But, so, the children of God, we need to be a pit bull like that, but on the right strategy. Don't be a pit bull when you are in the error, you know. So God will give you instruction, inspiration of the Almighty. I have many stories, and many people who have been hanging around me have been having stories of testimonies to tell with the inspiration of the Almighty. Many stories to tell about those. How God can use his inspiration to give you insight, you know, even while, you know, the Bible says even while you are sleeping, you know, God, you know, he sealed the instruction even in your heart. Do you know that instruction from God, one instruction from God, it might be equal to 100 natural counselors, you know, because God already knows everything, you know. So when he steals, you know, you go to bed at night, and before you even know what it is, you wake up and there's instruction in your mind. How did it happen? Well, God did it. Job chapter 33 and verse 15 says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, while deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumberings upon their bed, then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instruction. Now that strategy, God will put that instruction in your heart, you know, and then when you wake up, all of a sudden, it's like a light bulb went on. All of a sudden, you have these bright ideas. Well, that's strategy from the Lord. It's called the inspiration of the Almighty, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, I'm going to pray over the room. I want to hear from people today. So let me stop talking here so that I can hear from others. But you got the lesson. Strategy, I will instruct you in the way, instruct you in the way that you should go. I guide you with my eye. Instruct means he will teach you. I will teach you and instruct you. And then providence will guide it. He said that point blank. The Lord is the one that teacheth you to profit. How? You are going to make profit. He'll give you strategy. You know, your strategy he gives you may be different from somebody else. You got to listen to the Lord. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. And people got to learn to listen. That's why you practice in little things. You know, when you're standing in your closet and you say, Lord, what should I wear? You may say, well, that's silly. God doesn't care what you wear. Well, yeah, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he does. But, you know, when you practice in the little things, then, you know, you master the art of hearing from God. But you got to do it in the little things first, you know. And then he said, yeah, you want to wear that yellow? He said, no, wear the green. He said, who cares? Yellow, green, doesn't matter. These are not important things. Maybe not, but maybe it is. It could also be that God already told somebody that you are coming. He will do you, you know, when they come, they'll be wearing the green shirt. And the Holy Spirit will make sure that you do that because of the other thing that he told somebody, you know. And, you know, but these are little things. You practice, practice, practice. So finally, you master the art of hearing from God. And you learn to say yes when he tells you. When he say, hey, look, leave that place and go to the other place. The brook is dry. Then you know, and so forth. You won't be staying there fighting the brook and all of that, you know. So that's all strategy. Now, let me pray over the room. Thank you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Teach us, like you said, even while we are sleeping. The Bible says he opened the ears of men, sealed instruction in their heart, even while they sleep. May the spirit of instruction, the inspiration of the Almighty come upon your people to give us strategy on how to proceed. And may the Lord give you the understanding to know that you need to ask him, shall I go up or shall I not go up? And come from fresh instruction. You know, when there is a split in the way, which way should I go? Well, you will hear a voice behind your ear. The Bible says, you know, telling you which way to go. I pray that that voice, you know, will become clearer and clearer to us as we walk with the Lord. You know, he will give you that voice telling you which way to go. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. When you are at a crossroads, you know, and you will be at crossroads, you will hear a voice. When you're about to turn to the left or the right, you have to make a decision. But you got to practice hearing that voice. At that time, You will know the voice because you've practiced. And that voice will tell you, will instruct you. This is the way to go or not to go. So Father, Lord, we commit all your people that are in the room into your hands today. You know, that they will begin to flow, flowing and flowing and flowing in this walk. I call it flowing in the prophetic. When you are walking with the Lord that way, that's flowing in the prophetic. It's like he telling you, he's giving you an advantage of how to avoid things, like almost acting in the prophetic. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.